A lot of Farshim do that. A lot of them Farshim, they deal with that type of machshava to connect the end of the previous parasha to the beginning of this week's parasha. What happened in the last week's parasha? Amalek. What did Amalek do? Amalek came upon Klal Yisrael and attacked. It was a double attack. Asher karcha baderech vayizanev b'cha kol hanecheshalim acharecha v'ata oyev yogea. Amalek attacked human beings. It was a crime against humanity. We were tired, v'ata you klal Yisrael, were oyev, were weary, exhausted, tired, viogea. I don't know the difference between these two words. To me, they sound the same. Oyev, viogea. You were all worn out, spent up. We were vulnerable. And here comes along a nation, took advantage of our vulnerability and attacked us and went to war against us, tried to destroy us. That's not nice. That's not dignified. Especially in ancient times. In ancient times, you didn't go attack vulnerable people. War was honorable. You attack an opponent.
Sometimes you're physically spent, then you could be also mentally drained.
Two different words. So mentally drained. So there means he was mentally drained. Or maybe not, all the way around. Whatever. Both.
You know, once you've gone through so much sorrows, you are totally
wiped out.
You're mentally gone.
Mentally gone and physically gone.
And you're mentally drained, and then you get depressed.
In ancient times, you went to war. You didn't attack vulnerable people. War was a game. It was a fair battle. You didn't attack a weak enemy. You only attacked an opponent that was an equal. Well, it was an honorable experience, it would appear, in ancient times. Amalek was a bunch of lowlifes, to take advantage of the poor old lady walking down the street. You mug a 90-year-old lady. What kind of crime is this? A disgusting, despicable crime. They don't even have the ability to defend themselves. That was number one. Number two, v'lo yorei Elokim. What does that mean? According to Rashi, there's a machlokes rishonim. Does it mean that Amalek had no yirah shamayim, or does it mean that we klal Yisrael did not have yirah shamayim? Rashi will take now the approach of Rashi. Rashi says v'lo yorei Elokim refers to Amalek. Amalek was a nation that had absolutely no sense of fear of Hashem, and part of the battle of Amalek against klal Yisrael was to inject their poison of the lo yorei Elokim within us. It was a war against God. Milchama laHashem ba'amolek. Hashem says, I am at war with this nation. It's a holy war. So we take the pasuk at face value. Asher karcha baderech. He met you on the road. Vayizanef, he cut off. He sliced off kol hanechesh sholim acharecha, all of the stragglers, all of the weak, feeble people that were straggling along in the back of the camp. V'ato oyef yogea, and you didn't even have the ability to defend yourself. It was a despicable act, a crime against humanity, where one aggressive nation takes advantage of people that have no ability to defend themselves. A crime against humanity. Number two, the lo yorei Elokim. In addition, they're a nation that has no fear of God. And they went to war against HaKadosh Baruch Hu to inject their poison in us. So then we know when we come into Eretz Yisrael, what are we supposed when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem will give you rest from all of your enemies from around you, timche. Obliterate them. Now it begins Parshas V'Hayah Ki Savoy El Haaretz. What is the pasuk telling you? The pasuk is telling you how to wage war against Amalek. The war against Amalek is not necessarily to pick up arms and to go out into the world and ask people on the street, do you come from Amalek? Can I please take a blood sample? I want to see if you have DNA from the nation of Amalek. Is that what it is? Is that the way you fulfill the mitzvah? Timche zecher Amalek mitachas ha-shamam lo tishkach. Stand on Avenue M and ask every single person that passes by the question, are you a descendant of the nation of Amalek? Can I please take a blood sample? Or maybe can you put this swab in your nostrils so we can send it for don't go anywhere, within 3 minutes we will have results. And if you happen to have bad, be positive, sorry, it's going to end right here. Is that how you mekayim the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek? Some will tell you all these corona tests, it's just a front to figure out other things about your personality. Conspiracy, wild, outrageous conspiracy theories. Okay, what's going on over here? Along comes the Torah and tells us, I'll tell you now how to be mekayim the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, the place, and you'll inherit it, and you'll yarshin, and you will divide it. In other words, it will now be fulfilled b'honiach Hashem Elokecha mikol oyvecha misaviv. Now is the time to proceed to do this mitzvah. How do you do the mitzvah? Go into your orchard, into your field, and select some fruits, the first fruits. Put them in a basket and march all the way to Yerushalayim with ceremony and music, and come into the Beis HaMikdash and come to the Kohen and present it to him and say to him, She'eincha kofui toiva. So Rashi explains, say to the Kohen, I'm not a person that doesn't have gratitude. I'm not selfish. She'eincha kofui toiva. I'm here to say thank you. I'm here to say thank you to two people, to two entities. Number one, to the leadership of Klal Yisrael, to the Kohanim, and to present them with a gift, food, parnasa. I'm here to give you the best. I'm not just here to present you with stale bread. I'm here presenting you with the best. Mereishis pri hu adama, because I appreciate your service. I appreciate what the Beis HaMikdash does for the world. Klal Yisrael, the Kohanim were the teachers of Klal Yisrael. I appreciate our Jewish leadership, and it is my duty and my privilege, my obligation, to give my hard-earned money to you as a gift. And number two, I thank Hashem. I put down the basket in front of the Mizbeach, the Mokom where we offer sacrifices to Hashem, and I bow. I bow before Hashem. I give my Hakaras HaToyv to Hashem. You're doing two things when you bring Bikurim. You're expressing deep gratitude to the Kohanim, to man, to your fellow man who has been good to you, who has been kind to you, who has given up their opportunity to make their own life, to have their own parnasa, their own inheritance in the land. Sheva Levi has no chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Ein lechem chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Hashem hu nachalasa. They're devoted to you. They're devoted, they represent, they are the ones who are devoted to serve Klal Yisrael. You're here to express your gratitude to them, to human beings, humanity. And you're also here to express appreciation to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to say, I am a Yorei Elokim. Es Eho Elokim, Ani Yorei. V'hishtachaviso, you bow before the God who you're afraid of, Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. Yeah.
So think maybe the connection to Amalek might be something slightly different. See, we're talking here about Bikurim represents Hakaras HaTov.
Right.
And the Amalek. Reason where the Bnei Israel was confronted by Amalek was because that he said, Hayesh Hashem Bekirbenu.
Im Oyin. Right. Okay. We lack an appreciation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Exactly. Who is the nation that lacks appreciation? Who is Amalek? Amalek represent everything bad about ourselves.
Right. Which but we demonstrated that
that's the problem.
As well.
Exactly. So we have to eradicate that from us.
Right. It's more about us than Amalek.
Exactly. It's more exactly. So that's the juxtaposition. If we are mekayim the mitzvah of Bikurim, memela Amalek disappears. In other words, today, how are we mekayim the mitzvah in Tov Shin Pei of Mechiyas Amalek? How? How are we mekayim? How are we possibly mekayim this mitzvah? How can we mekayim? We can't go out to war. You can't do that. And we don't even know who Amalek is. You can't positively identify the nation of Amalek. The way we are mekayim the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek is with Bikurim. The mitzvah of Bikurim captures the essence of what Amalek is and what we need to do to eradicate that from the world is to show gratitude. Gratitude towards humanity and gratitude towards Hashem. Amalek took advantage of the vulnerable. Now the Kohanim are vulnerable. They are the most vulnerable people. They do not they have no possessions in Eretz Yisrael. They do not own any real estate. They are subject to the goodwill and the kindness of Klal Yisrael who support them with Truma and Maaser. They're vulnerable people. They're not multimillionaires making millions of dollars. They're devoted, they sit and they learn. They teach, they guide. The Kohanim are the people in Klal Yisrael in the time of Chazal that were devoted to serving Klal Yisrael. They have no physical possessions. They're vulnerable. And here, what do we do to these people? We give them the best. Meireishis pri ho'adama, in beautiful gold baskets with music and ceremony. What's the purpose of the music? It says in the Mishnayos Masechet Bikurim, when you do the mitzvah, you're supposed to come. There's an orchestra that accompanies you, and everyone, when you walk into Yerushalayim to do the mitzvah, everyone stands up. They must stop what they're doing to give honor to the people that are involved in this mitzvah. I never understood this. When you walk in the street on your way to shul, holding in your hand a lulav and esrog on Sukkos, does anyone stop and clap? A hero. I was in the airport when soldiers, I saw, you know, it's one thing, ain't a doime shmielirei. You can watch on television, maybe during the different tkufas in our life when there were wars and there were soldiers, heroes, and they got off, they came back from Iraq, from fighting, and everyone, they get a round of applause. Okay, so you're watching a commercial on television, you watch people applauding them in the airport. But when you're in the airport, and you're the one that's clapping, and you're the one that's watching, it's a very different experience to actually see it live, spontaneously, when a whole collection of soldiers in uniform get off the plane or go walk into the airport, and everyone's clapping for them, and you also get up and clap for them. It's a whole different experience. When you walk down the road, walk in the street with your lulav and esrog, does anyone get up for you and clap and say you're a hero? Of course not. So why is the mitzvah of Bikurim different than any other mitzvah? And the answer is because the mitzvah of Bikurim is a mitzvah where you're going to show appreciation to another person, to another human being. I'm taking this basket of fruit, I'm delivering it to a person who has been good to me, who has been kind to me, who has devoted his life so that I can have a spiritual existence. You're coming to show your appreciation to somebody else, another human being. That type of mitzvah demands it be done with ceremony, with music, with fanfare. And when people watch you do this mitzvah, you get up and you clap and you give honor. That's the opposite of what Amalek did. When Amalek saw Klal Yisrael marching in the street, they were marching in the desert. Where were they going in the desert? What was Klal Yisrael doing in the desert? They were traveling to Eretz Yisrael. It's like they were bringing Bikurim. Klal Yisrael was on their way to Yerushalayim to bring Bikurim. To go to Hashem and say, "Amokoim asher yifchar Hashem elokecha l'shakein shmoy sham." And what Amalek do? You bunch of lowlives. You killed us. Went to war with us. Hashem, you don't be like them. When you see someone going to Yerushalayim, to the Mokom asher yifchar Hashem, to show appreciation to the Ribbono shel Olam, and to show appreciation to Hashem's people who make it all possible, you stop, you stand up, you clap, and you express your hakaras hatov. The whole nature of the mitzvah of Bikurim is the complete opposite of what Amalek did to Klal Yisrael. And the way we are mekayim timche as zecher Amalek, mitachas ha-shamayim lo tishkoch, is to be mekayim the mitzvah of Bikurim. Okay, let's move along to another idea.
So that's what Moshe was saying, the Samachta B'chol HaTov, maybe that's what he's talking about.
And they should do with simcha. You should do with simcha when you come in. Now I want to tell you another idea, a very different type of idea. I saw something which I found to be very fascinating. The mitzvah of Bikurim begins with the words, when you'll come into V'hoya ki savoy el ha'oretz, you'll enter. Asher Hashem lekecha nosein lecha nachala, inheritance. V'rishta, you'll take possession. V'yoshavta ba. There's only one other mitzvah in the entire Torah that uses the same expression. And that is malchus, a melech. The mitzvah soim tosim alecha melech. Okay, not that long ago, back in Parsha Shoftim. In the second Aliyah, ki savoy el aretz, asher Hashem elokecha nosein loch. Here it says nosein locha. There it says loch. So the Balei Kriya don't make a mistake. There it says loch. Virishta, you will possess it. The Yoshavtaba. Okay, kimat, the same exact words. There is no other mitzvah in the entire Torah that shares the same intro other than Bikurim and the mitzvah to appoint a melech. Back in Parashat Shoftim, Soim tosim olecha melech, asher yifcha Hashem lokecha bo mikerev achecha. My high, what's the significance? What's going on here? Question number two. It says here in the Pasuk, Parash Kisavo, Uvasa el ha-koyhein, Asha yihye, Vasa, Vokachtan v'rakachta, Mereish priyodama, a little further. Okay, and you'll put in the basket. Uvasa el ha-koyhein. You will come to the Kohen. Who's the Kohen? I guess you would say any Kohen, anyone who's a Kohen. The Targum Yoinasan ben Uziel says something shocking. You will come to the Kohen Godol. The mitzvah of Bikurim, in his understanding, is to give it to the Kohen Godol. And that's probably impossible, because how in the world can every single Jew in Klal Yisrael come have enough time to bring their Bikurim to the Kohen Godol? But that's what it says. It says, Uvasa el ha-Kohen, the Kohen Targum Yoinasan is the Kohen Godol. What's going on here? Well, now that we know that this mitzvah of Bikurim is the only, it has something in common with the mitzvah of Soim Tosim Olecha Melech. There, that mitzvah, we're dealing with one person who is the top, the chief, the person in charge, the Melech. And now, when it says here the word Kohen, oh, it's not so far-fetched now that the word Kohen refers to the Kohen Gadol. What am I trying to say? I want to say a very big Chiddush. It's a Jewish. But the Ikur Mitzvah of Bikurim is not for me and you. This is not Lahalacha, of course, what I'm saying. But I want to say some extreme words in order to bring out a point. The Ikur Mitzvah of Bikurim is not for every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Do you know who has the mitzvah to bring Bikurim? The primary person who has to bring Bikurim? One person. The Melech. The Melech. He is the one. And it makes a lot of sense. What is the role of the Melech? The Melech is in charge of the economy. What's the difference? There are three different roles. We discussed this not that long ago. The three branches of government in Klal Yisrael. In the Beis HaMikdash, there is the Melech. And we learned in Sefer Yecheskel that he has an office in the Beis HaMikdash. And there is the Kohen Gadol. And then there is the Lishkas HaGozis, the Bezdin. And the leader of the Bezdin is the Av Bezdin. So there's the Av, the legislative branch. There is the executive branch. And there is the clergy. Chief of the clergy is the Kohen. Who's in charge? So we like in America, we always like to say, no one's in charge, checks and balances. There are checks and balances, everyone is offset by somebody else. That's in a secular society. In this pasuk over here, we're focusing on the two primary leaders in Klal Yisrael. And there's always a conflict. We study Tanakh, we always come across, there's a conflict. There is the spiritual branch, and then there is the you can't call it the secular, you can't say that, but there is the Malchus, the Melech. The Malchus is Malchus, but the role of the Melech is not to decide Halacha. Shlomo HaMelech was the greatest Dayan of all time, Enoch and Ami. But the Kohen is the one who enters Lifnai, Vilifnim, on Yom HaKippurim, not the Melech. The Melech's not allowed to go there. The Melech, with all of his power, eminent domain, with all of his honor, all of his wealth, cannot enter into the Heichal. Keep out. No kings allowed. You're not allowed to walk into this Makom. Keep out. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim, don't you dare. And the Yom HaKippurim, he doesn't get any attention. The one that gets all the attention is the Kohen Gadol. And the Kohen Gadol is not a rich man. I mean, he's supposed to be wealthy, Gadleo Me'achav, but not like the Melech. Not like the Melech who's allowed to have 18 wives, and the Melech that has all the gold and silver, and can do whatever he wants, his eminent domain over the whole Klal Yisrael, can do whatever he wants. Okay?
You have 18 wives, you're not rich.
Okay, so he doesn't have.
Why he raises taxes?
Who is the Baal HaBos? This parsha is a critical parsha to appreciate Jewish leadership. The parsha here is addressing the Melech. You, the Melech, have to humble yourself before the Kohen Gadol. With all of your might and power and prestige and honor and recognition in the entire world, you are nothing before the Kohen Gadol. The parsha begins, the haya it will be, ki savoy al aretz, asher Hashem Elokecha nosein lucha nachla v'yirishta v'yashavta ba. Oh, those words sound very familiar. Because those words were the same words that were said by the Melech. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, you do exactly these things. You enter, you possess, and you dwell in the land. Soim tasim alecha melech. Appoint the king. Okay, I'm your man. These words are just a continuation where we left off the last time we had these words. The last time we had these words, we appointed a king. We've given him enormous power, enormous prestige. He's world renowned. The Kohen Gadol, it's not likely anyone even knows who he is. It's a private club. So, but we have over here this the Melech of Klal Yisrael. And what does the Pasuk now say? You, the Melech, you shall take the best. V'lokachta, mereshis, kol pri adama, all the fruits of the land, the whole Eretz Yisrael, the best that Eretz Yisrael has to offer. The whole Eretz Yisrael. Asher tovim mi'artzcha, asher Hashem l'chon hosein loch, v'sam devatena, v'lachta l'mokam, you, the Melech, start walking. No motor vehicles. Get on your feet and start going for a hike. El hamokam asher yivcha Hashem lokech l'shak ein shemay sham. And you the melech, uvasa el ha-koyhein. Targum yoynesan ben uziel, come to the Kohen Gadol and humble yourself before the Kohen Gadol. Who's in charge? It's not checks and balances. It's not like America. The executive branch is...
It's separation of powers.
There is no separation. That's exactly the point. There is no separation of powers. The Melech is subject to the authority of the Kohen Gadol.
And the Kohen Gadol is subject to the king in other ways.
In other ways? You don't find anywhere in the Torah that the Kohen Gadol has to bring Bikurim to the Melech. There's no mitzvah. It may be there's a separation of powers, but the one that has more power, everyone has a role. Men and women have different roles. But when it comes to the Melech, everyone has a different role in life. But here the Pasuk is telling you, humble yourself. The Melech has to humble himself. You're not the one who goes lefnai v'lefnim. You're in charge of the economy. You're in charge of going to war. You're in charge of making decisions, but your decisions are subject to the approval, the recognition that you are required to fulfill what it says in the Torah. And the Torah rests in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, in the Mokoim, where the Kohen Gadol enters Lefnai V'Lefnim once a year. Nowhere in the Torah does it give you a mitzvah for the Kohen Gadol to humble himself before the Melech. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah. It maybe has to have respect for the Melech, like every Jew has to have respect for the Melech. Soim tasim alecha Melech. But a special mitzvah to go, uvasoy la koyein. And you go and targum yonis and the Kohen Gadol. And you say, v'lakachta, and he takes it and he waves it and he goes through the whole process. It's a drush. It's not pshat, obviously. But I'm building upon two principles. I'm building upon the absolute, undeniable relationship between Malchus and Bikurim in the fact that both of these parashos begin with exactly the same words to the exclusion of every other mitzvah in the Torah. And number two, with this off the charts, over the top, out of the ballpark home run, Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, that says the Kohen here is the Kohen Gadol. And when you put this together, what's it saying? You know who's coming to bring Bikurim? The Melech. And he is coming to the Kohen, not the Kohen coming to him. And he is humbling himself and bowing before Hashem. The Melech, with all of his power, has to recognize that his decisions, his approach to leadership is subject to the direction, the hadrocha, the spirituality that comes from the Beis HaMikdash, which is served by the Institute of the Kohanim under the leadership of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, that's my drush. Now let's go to another idea. I want to say something which is rated R. Did I wake you all up now? Okay, this is a Vart, which I don't think you should repeat. But it struck me, this Vart. Maybe it's because you'll understand in a second. The Teichacha. I told you, I'm warning you, don't repeat this. Even though this is public forum here. The Teichacha. In the Teichacha, there are two words that we change. We don't read them the way they are spelled. Okay, there is the word Yakecha Hashem b'shchin Mitzrayim uvatechoyrim. Hashem will smite you with boils of Egypt, uvatechoyrim. What is uvatechoyrim? That's not the real word. The way it's spelled in the Torah is as uve apolim, apolim. And that means the part of the body, I think the rectum, if I'm not mistaken. Hemorrhoids, I don't even know what it means. It means some type of disease in that part of the body which we don't even want to say. You're in the Beis HaKnesses, you're not going to say dirty words. It's not a dirty word. You can't say it's a dirty word, but it's not something that's very settling. The place of the body that's mole tsoa, excrement. You don't want to say that word in front of the Sefer Torah, in front of the Aron HaKodesh, in front of the Tzibur. So there is a halacha. This is a Mesorah Misinai. You don't say the word. It's really a shocking thing. Kriyas HaTorah, and you're saying words Baal Peh. It's an incredible principle. It's one thing if you want a Mole V'choser, an extra Yud, a missing Yud, you want to change a letter. It's a whole different word. And it's really off the charts. It's really off the charts, but this is what the tradition is. It's incredible how far you go to do something like this. And you don't say the word uva'apalim, which we don't anyway appreciate these words, so it doesn't really matter to us very much. But if you know what the word really means, it's not a clean word. So we say a different word. We say uva'techoyrim, which means, look at Rashi. How does Rashi translate this? Let me go to the Rashi Pasuk Chav Zayin. B'shchim Mitzrayim Ra Hoya Ma'od Lach Mi Bechutz Yavesh Mi Bifnim Kit Isa Gorov. Rashi doesn't even discuss it. All right, fine. He doesn't even want to touch it. He doesn't. Okay. Now we get to the part that you're not allowed to repeat. And that is another curse. Isha se'ores v'ish acher yishkovena. Okay? A man, a curse. It's a real curse in the Torah. A man, he marries a woman, has eris, and we had something very similar by the Muhammad person, and the Koyim Ashuach Muhammad makes an announcement. Anyone that God had erisin, did not have nisuin, leave, exempt from the war. Here it says this fellow didn't work out for him. Isha se'ores, a man, he betrothed the woman, and then he's cursed. What's the curse? The ish acher, another man, yishkovena. Okay, yishkovena. Now the word yishkoven in our vocabulary is also not a kosher word. Okay, it means to lie down, and you understand what it means. But even though in our vocabulary that's a dirty word, but it's nothing compared to what it really says in the Torah.
Vulgar.
What does it really say in the Torah? It says the word yishkolena. Okay, use your imagination what that word means. Yishkolena, shagol, right? Shagol, you know what the word means. I don't have to say what it means. You know what the word means. Three-letter word. Okay, so it says over here this three-letter, this word, which is what it says in the Torah. But we don't read that word because it's not proper. It's not refined. Klal Yisrael are holy people. Anche Kodesh Tihun Li. It's not a refined manner of speech, even though the Torah had to say it because the Torah has to make it clear what is happening. But the Mesorah is you don't say it, you say a more refined word, Yishkovena. Yishkovena. which means to go to sleep. And we understand what that means. We get it. We understand what's happening over here. All right. But here's the point I want to make. We know, good and well, the toicha is horrific. It's horrific. I'll discuss toicha in a few moments. I'll tell you about the toicha in a few minutes. We know that. We're familiar with that. But we also know that hidden in the toicha is bracha. Vayahafoich Hashem Elokecha es haklala lebracha. Ki ahevecha Hashem Elokecha. Hashem loves you. And because Hashem loves you, Hashem is going to be mahapech the klala lebracha. Is there anywhere in the toicha where explicitly it says words of bracha? No. No. In order to find bracha in the Teuchecha, you need to be a chassidus Rebbe. You need to be very creative. You need a good maisa. You need a good sefer to show some very insightful, deep understanding of what's happening. Oh, to see taka this bracha. But al derech pshat, no. That's why it's called the Teuchecha. And that's why it's spooky. And that's why we do all these funny things with the Teuchecha. Tichle shana v'kililoi seha. And it's a very long Teuchecha. Very long. It goes on and on and on and on and on. And it's not good. But there is one place in the entire Teuchecha that Rashi says it's bracha. Explicitly. And that's this word. If you look in the Rashi, Isha Seores, a man betroths a woman. The Isha Cher, he married her. He may Harem, and he never gets to conclude the marriage. He gets in, like we'll make believe he gets engaged, a broken engagement. Okay, it's not accurate, obviously. It's more than that. A broken engagement. Rashi, Pasuk Lamed. Yishkolena. Rashi wasn't afraid. Rashi quotes the word the way it's spelled in the Torah, the three-letter word that begins with an S, and you're not allowed to say. Loshen Shegel, okay? And then comes the word Pilegesh. A man has a woman that he only lives with for his taiva. And look what Rashi over here says. V'yakosuv, the pasuk. Look at Rashi's refined usage of words. Kinohu l'shevach. But the pasuk changed it l'shevach yishkovena. In other words, the Mesoira is, even though the way it's spelled is yishkolena, but the way we read it is yishkovena. When you read the Teuchecha, you don't read it in the way it's spelled. You mahapech it l'shevach. Now, in the context of this pasuk, it means a more refined manner of speech. But Rashi says more than that. L'shevach. It's not really a curse. It's not really a curse. It's really a blessing. Now, in life, one of the most painful things that we all know is love and war, right? Love, shidduchim. People's hearts don't get broken over stock market. You lost the stock market, so tomorrow goes up, goes down. You get over the stock market. Relationships are very painful. Everyone relates to that. Everyone understands that. That's the whole world. Everyone's married. Everyone understands there's something called a relationship. And when relationships turn sour, it's very, very painful. And here is a curse. A person's in a relationship and it turns sour. The ish acher yishkolena. No, don't say that word. Don't say that word. Yishkovena. Okay, that word to me doesn't sound any better. Okay, and I would say the word yishkovena, my father would wash my mouth out with soap. So to me, the words don't really, the choice of two words to me, I mean, I would get the same amount of soap in my mouth if I would use either of the two words. But Rashi says, Hakosov kinehu l'shevach. This is the only place in the entire Teichacha where it's explicit. What you think is, it's a drush. What you think is a curse, it's really a blessing. It says over here, Yishkolena, but kineyu hakosav l'shevach. If you would have remained in this relationship, you would have tsaris your whole life. You don't know the big picture. You don't know what kind of children, you don't know what kind of situations, you don't know, no one knows. No one really knows anything in this world. Hakosav kineyu l'shevach. You see here, Mamish, in the Teichacha itself, Hashem, and this type of part of the many things in the Teichacha, this is something that we relate to. Because you talk about some of the things over here in the Teichacha, everyone is involved in relationships. And when a relationship turns sour, that's a curse. But Hashem, this is a mahapech kolola lebracha. Look at that, look what I did for you. I nipped it in the bud. Over here, the pasuk is going to be talking about a kid who's 18 years old, a girl who's 18 years old, and you got engaged. You're going to live to 120 years old. Do you realize if you would have married this girl, you don't see the big picture. You don't know the tsaris, your life of misery. I saved you. She married someone else, and you married someone else, and you both had wonderful lives. If you would have married the wrong person, you both would have been miserable. Hakosav kinehu l'shevach. In the Teichacha itself, Hashem is being mahapech klalo lebrach and giving us this dogma. So when they lay in tomorrow this pasuk, the ish acher yishkovena, this is, you don't need a grois rebbe. They used to go to the big rebbes, al pi kabbalah, they knew how to mahapech klalo lebracha. Look at Rashi. Hakosif mahapchoi l'shevach. The pasuk changed it for shevach, not just in a literal sense of a more refined word, but look at the principle. Okay, let me leave you with one vart. I want to leave you with a vart which I think is very important.
The same thing by Gerushin.
By Gerushin. The Yatz, the Chayis, the Ishacher.
The same between.
The Ishacher, right. The same, but, right. The Chayis, but there doesn't say the word Yishkolen.
Okay.
Okay, let me leave you with one vibe. That this, I think, is a very important Yisrael. I think this something over here very important. The Teichacha appears to be broken up into sections. You know, it's not very obvious. But when you read the Torah, it starts off, it gets very frank. V'hoya imloy sishma. If you don't listen, b'kol Hashem elokech, lishma v'lasayis, and it goes on and on and on. And then, towards the middle, it tells you, after it lays out, curse, 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 it tells you, you want to know why? I'll tell you why. You want to know why? I'll tell you why. Pasig mem zayin. Tachas. Everything is a curse. There's no reasons given. Finally, you get to the reason. Tachas asher lo yavadita es Hashem Elokecha b'simcha uvituv levav meroiv kol. You had it all. Lechosar dovar. You had it all. And you just didn't serve Hashem with simcha. Okay, you don't need to explain this. It's self-understood. Tachas asher lo yavadita es Hashem Elokecha b'simcha uvituv levav, with joy and a good heart at a time meroiv kol. Now, if you would ask me, I would say, okay, we're done. Close the Sefer Torah. We're finished. You got enough curses. Enough. How many curses already could you give us? You gave us the curses. And you told us the reason. We're finished. Let's go home now. No. Sit down. I got for you more curses. And then round number two begins. V'yovadito es oivecha. You're going to serve your enemies. Asher yishalchenu Hashem boch. All right, goes on. More curses. All the collection. And then I'll tell you why. Round number two. You know why? Why? Let me find the pasuk. Curse, curse, curse. It says, wait, let me find the pasuk. 1 second. You know why? Pasuk nun ches. It tells you why. You know why? It's imlo. Imlo here means because of. Imloy sishmar, imloy sishmar, because you did not guard last size, it's called the Riatar Azois, Hakisufim Basefer Hazeh, Liyira, Es Hashem, Hanichbod, the Hanoira, Hazeh, Eis Hashem Elokecha. That's the reason. No fear of God. So the first section concludes, you know why? You didn't serve Hashem with joy, even though you had everything you can possibly want. Section number two, you know why? Curses. And section number two is much worse. If you look at section number two, the curses are far worse than section number one. We don't have time to go into the details, but section number two is worse. You know why? Because you have no fear of God. That's a very different reason. No fear of God. Okay, now we go to section number three, as if we didn't have enough. V'hiflo Hashem es makoyscha v'es makoy zarecha. More curses. And then this section concludes a few psukim with Samach Gimel, and it says something very interesting. V'hoya, I'm suggesting to you this is the reason for section number three. Kasher sos Hashem aleichem lehitiv eschem ulaharbois eschem kein yosis Hashem aleichem lehavid eschem ulahashmid eschem. This is a very interesting, this is not just a curse. Over here there's a presentation. Just like back in the olden days, Hashem had such joy. Sos, not simcha, sos, different word. To do good to you, Hashem is now going to do the opposite. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, this is the reason. Let me explain. When a person gives you a gift, and he doesn't just give you a gift, he presents it with such joy and such honor, and you spit at him, that's pretty bad. HaKadosh, the reason why we're suffering section number three is because our lack of reciprocation, our lack of acknowledgement of what Hashem has done for us. Section number one was because we didn't serve Hashem with simcha uvituv levav meirayv kol. Section number two, we have no yirah shemayim. Section number three was Hashem, He had such joy in giving us, and we just looked at Him and said, hello, not interested in you. That's why. You know why this section number three? It's because v'choyo kasher sos Hashem alechem lehitiv eschem ulaharbois eschem, and we just sat there like a monkey and didn't acknowledge the blessing and reciprocate. That's why now it's nishapech. Hashem's gonna, I'm angry. I'm going to do ken yos Hashem aleichem l'havid eschem l'hashmid eschem. And then we come to section number four. More curses. More curses. And these curses are the pits. This is the worst of the worst, these curses. Section number four. And you know what's so frightening about section number four? There's no reason. There's no concluding connection of why, of to the one that's doing it, of it just ends off, curse, 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 and the end will be you'll go back to Egypt and you'll try to sell yourself as a slave back to Egypt, and it doesn't conclude. You know why? Because you didn't have simcha, you didn't have yira, you did not reciprocate, you did not participate in the relationship? Nothing. That is the worst. Let me explain. When you want to punish a person, there are different ways to punish a person. The worst way to punish a person is the silent, what's called silent treatment, where you just don't acknowledge their existence. What's worse, to take a baseball bat and beat someone up, or just, you don't exist. I don't see you. There's someone in the room here, I don't see you. You don't exist.
I think in social media, I think it's called ghosting.
Ghosting, silent treatment. I once saw a commercial, a girlfriend calls up, wants to punish her boyfriend. So what does she do? She calls him up. She calls him up and he says, hello, hello. And she just doesn't say anything. You give the silent treatment. The silent treatment, you just don't respond. I don't acknowledge you. I don't acknowledge you. Okay, you want to show them I don't acknowledge you by calling them up and then just ignoring them. You don't acknowledge. That's the worst. At least when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, he's acknowledging us. In the beginning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm angry at you. Why don't you serve me with simcha v'tuv levav? That's why you suffer. Next level. I'm angry because you're not afraid of me. The next level. Okay. You don't want to serve me with joy. Fine. You don't want to acknowledge. You don't want to serve me with fear. Okay. At least acknowledge I exist. When I give you a gift, kasher sos Hashem aleichem lehetiv eschem, did you even acknowledge that I had joy? Acknowledge me? No. You didn't do either. So now, you know I'm going to punish you? I'm going to ignore you totally. The ultimate curse comes. You know what the ultimate curse is? Hashem doesn't even tell us he's angry with us. He curses us. He lets us be dispersed, section number 4. You want to know why? Is there a person in the room over here? I hear noise. You don't exist. You don't even deserve that I should acknowledge your existence to explain to you why. Mm-hmm. There are 4 levels of Teichacha. Level number 1 is because we didn't go and serve Hashem with joy. The next level is at least serve Hashem with fear. If you can't do that, at least acknowledge Hashem's existence. That Hashem loves you and Hashem is good to you. Hashem has sos, kasher sos, Hashem lehetiv eschem. Acknowledge! Acknowledge Hashem loves you. You don't want to have joy? Fine. You don't want to have fear? Fine. But at least acknowledge! So then, you know what? Mida k'neged mida. I'm not going to even acknowledge you exist. That's the worst. The ultimate hester panim is as if Hashem, you exist? I'm not even aware you exist. There's a sequence in the Teichacha. And the Musra Haskel for us is to take advantage of this awareness of the 4 levels and to work on ourselves. Number 1, acknowledge. Number 2, Yirah Shemayim, fear. And number 3, Simcha. There's a process. The process is first acknowledge Hashem. Not only acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu ka'asher sos Hashem Elokeichem lehetiv eschem. That's the second level. The third level is have fear of Hashem. The fourth level is have simcha in serving Hashem. The same way the Teichel goes down from simcha to yira to a demand to acknowledge them that I love you to fury and just ignoring you, when we have to reciprocate, we have to work up these madregos. Acknowledge Hashem, acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has joy in us. Then go to a level of fearing Hashem, and then go to a level of loving Hashem, of simcha b'Hashem. Rabbi Sai, it should be taka be tichle shana v'kilo lo'seha. It's been quite a year. like we started with in the beginning from the Kloisenberger Rebbe. You can learn it very loud this year. You can learn the Torah very loud and very slow. There's nothing to be afraid of. It already happened. It's over. Mm-hmm. You're only afraid of the unknown, what will happen. It's done. It's over. Finished. It's finished. Tichle shana v'kililoy secha, tochel shana u'birchoy secha. Think of the last pasuk of the Haftorah, be'ita achishena. Mashiach is around the corner. A wonderful Shabbos. Be well. Be gesund. A kesiva v'chasima toiva guge ben shiur to everyone. Shabbos, Dr. Fruchter, good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Shabbat Shalom.